So I'd like to invite you this afternoon for our Bible study method. If you like to know how to study the Word of God, how to understand it in its proper context, so please be here at 1 p.m. 1 p.m. to 2:30. We will be running it for about 3 Sundays or 4 Sundays. So if you are interested to know how to study the Bible, so please be here at 1 o'clock p.m. And also, if you want to serve the Lord through GCF Nuvali, we invite you to become a member of GCF Nuvali, and that will be on August 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. So if you are interested to serve the Lord in the music ministry, ushering, or wherever ministry, whatever ministry that the Lord is putting in your heart, so please become a member. So we'd like to invite you to become a member of GCF Nuvali. Now, the leadership of GCF Nuvali is really thinking on how we can really build you up as the body of Christ. It's remember that it's more than just the building. We have a building project, but it's more than the building project because we want to continue to remain focused on the mission that God has given us, that the Lord Jesus has given us, and that is to make disciples of all nations. Disciple making is strengthening you. We're not just after getting bigger, getting stronger, but we want to grow deeper in our fellowship with the Lord, in our relationship with the Lord. So please do watch out because once we have the workbooks, we will start our discipleship program. Okay, we have a 3-year discipleship program for all the members and attendees of GCF Nuvali. So once we get hold of the workbooks, we will announce it, and most probably we will start by October. We will have the first year program of that 3-year discipleship program because we want you to grow in your fellowship with the Lord. We want you to grow deeper in the Word of God because by doing so, we will get to know the God of the Word when we grow deep in the Word of God. And one of the courses is about forgiveness. And I want us to think right now that the forgiveness that we receive from the Lord because of the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ, we want to continue to receive His forgiveness. That every time we commit sin, even as a believer, we cannot say that we no longer sin, right? All of us as a believer, we still continue to sin. One way or the other, we commit a sin. And I want us to understand that every time that we ask for forgiveness, the Lord, definitely, because He is faithful and just, He will definitely forgive us. But here's the question for us. When we sin against the Lord, what do we do? Do we justify our sin? Do we run away from God because we sin against Him? Do we separate ourselves from the fellowship of the believers? Most commonly, church, ito po, totoo ito. Okay? Based on my observation, when a believer commits a sin, usually he or she separates himself from the fellowship of the believers. Now you know that there's something wrong that is happening to him. Because it is as if he or she is also running away from the Lord. And that should not be our attitude. When we sin, do we accept rebuke from fellow believers? Or when we sin, do we blame others? The worst thing that we can do is to blame others because of our own sin. Do we cover up our sin? My prayer this morning is that we will not cover up our sins, but rather we will come clean before the Lord. We will come clean before the Lord. Let us have a word of prayer before we go to our passage. Father, we thank You. And for Your word, Lord, in Psalm 51, help us, Lord, to realize and understand, Lord, what repentance is all about. Help us, Lord God, even today, I know, Lord, that this is the opportunity that You are giving us to really repent of our sins, to ask for forgiveness, and to come clean before You. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. So just please open your Bibles to Psalm 51. That is our passage. Okay? Okay, ayaw rin yatang gumana nung sa PowerPoint. Now, let me just give you the background of Psalm 51 because if you will see the superscript in Psalm 51, it says there the background is when David sin against the Lord, and that is by committing adultery with Bathsheba and also murdering Uriah because he is the mastermind of that murder of Uriah. And you can see the background in 2 Samuel chapter 11, that is the story, when David committed adultery with Bathsheba and also murdered Uriah. And then I just want us to focus on when the Lord confronted David through the prophet Nathan, and that is in 2 Samuel chapter 12. And I just want to read to you because this is the background of Psalm 51 so that we can understand where David is coming from when he composed Psalm 51. Look at when the Lord confronted David through prophet Nathan. And the Lord sent Nathan in chapter 12, verse 1 of 2 Samuel to David, and he came to him and said to him, he gave a parable to David. There were two men in a certain city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had very many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing but one little lamb, which he had bought, and he bought it up, and he brought it up, and it grew up with him and with his children, and it used to eat of his morsel and drink from his own cup and lie in his arms. And it was like a daughter to him. In other words, it's like a pet to this man. Now there came a traveler to the rich man, and he was unwilling to take one of his own flock or herd to prepare for the guest who had come to him, but he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. Then David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity." Listen to this. And Nathan said to David, "You are that man. You are that man. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you out of the hand of Saul, and I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your arms, and gave you the house of Israel and of Judah, and if this were too little, I would add to you much more." Listen to this in verse 9. "Why have you despised the word of the Lord?" That is the issue. It's more than because David did not go to battle or whatever. We call it the anatomy of sin in chapter 11. But the real issue is this. When the Lord said to David, "Why have you despised my word?" The word of the Lord. And not only that, to do what is evil in his sight. "You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and have taken his wife to be your wife and have killed him with the sword of the Ammonites." And look at verse 10. Listen to this. "Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house." That is the consequence, the judgment, okay, to David. "Why? Because you have despised me." So David did not just despise, okay, the word of the Lord, but he despised God himself. I want us to understand, church, that every time that we commit sin, it is not just simply that we break the law of God, no. But we break the very heart of God. That is how serious sin is. That every time we commit a sin, we break the heart of God. And look at verse 13. "David said to Nathan, 'I have sinned against the Lord.' And Nathan said to David, 'The Lord also has put away your sins, and you shall not die. Nevertheless, because of this deed, you have utterly scorned the Lord. The child who is born to you shall die.' Then Nathan went to his house." Look at when Nathan confronted David, David immediately said, "I have sinned against the Lord. I have sinned against the Lord." Church, we must come clean before God. And when I say coming clean, it means repentance. Coming clean before God is, we do not simply feel sorry, okay, because we committed a sin, because that is remorse. But we come clean before the Lord. That is repentance. Timothy Keller once said, Legalistic remorse says, I broke God's rules, while real repentance says, I broke God's heart. I broke God's heart. Coming clean before God means having a broken spirit before the Lord. Look at what David said in Psalm 51, verses 16 to 17. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering, because the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. The word broken in Hebrew, it means to break in pieces. So what God wants, especially in the context when we commit sin, is a heart that is broken in pieces. Can you see the picture of that? A heart that is really broken in pieces. That is not a heart that is so proud. A heart that is just thinking of himself. A heart that is just thinking of his own shame or her shame. But a heart that is really broken before the Lord. Broken into pieces. Again, usually what we will observe with people, let's say a Christian commits a sin, usually they move away from the Lord. They move away from the fellowship of the church. They think of themselves. They are full of themselves. It's pride. It's pride. Instead of humbling themselves before God and before his people, they will even try to gain sympathies because of what they have done. They will even put blame on others. Watch out with these people who like to talk about other people behind their back. Because usually, normally, these are the people who is trying to cover up something in their lives. They are not authentic. That's why they love to talk about other people, because they're trying to cover their lives, their own sins. When we commit sin, let's have this kind of attitude. We must be broken before the Lord. We must have a broken spirit. Therefore, we should come clean before God. Now, how are we going to come clean before the Lord? First, that is by appealing to God's character. Second, by accepting our own wrongdoing. And third, by asking God to restore us into a right fellowship with Him. First, by appealing for His character. Look at what David said in verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God. Look at that. According. Did you see that? According to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. David made an appeal to God's character, to God's steadfast love, and to God's abundant mercy. The word steadfast love there, that is the Hebrew word hesed. If you will remember, I already told you the meaning of the Hebrew word hesed when we discussed Psalm 13. Okay, and this Hebrew word hesed, this was mentioned 240 times in the Old Testament. And it means loving kindness, grace, mercy, faithfulness, goodness, devotion. This is who God is. He is hesed. And second, he said, abundant mercy. The word mercy there, it means compassion. So God is not only, he has this steadfast love, he is also compassionate. So David made an appeal for God's forgiveness based on who God is. That is based on God's unfailing love and his compassion. In the same way also, beloved, that when we sin against the Lord, let us come clean before Him, asking for forgiveness by appealing to His character, by appealing to His love and mercy. Because let me tell you, His love will never, ever come to an end. He has this unfailing love for us. And He has this abundant mercy that He will forgive us. And let this bring an encouragement to you, especially if you are here right now, and you are thinking that there is no more forgiveness left for you, let me tell you how the Lord demonstrated His love for us. God shows His love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When it comes to forgiveness, we appeal to God's character. There's nothing that we can do for God to forgive us nor to love us. Because the truth is, my dearly brothers and sisters, is that He already loved us even before we asked for forgiveness. Because the Bible says, even while we were still sinners, Christ already died for us. Christ already paid for the penalty of our sin, and we can never, ever, ever repay Him for that. My friend, if this is your first time to attend in GCF Nuvali, let me tell you this. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that is Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but will have eternal life. Right now, forgiveness is available for you, my friend. Forgiveness is available for you. Jesus Christ paved the way for us to be forgiven. It is all because of the finished work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The challenge for you, my friend, is to believe in Jesus. Believe in Him and on His finished work. Remember that we ask for His mercy and His love. His mercy, His love, His grace, it's all about Him. It's all about His character. And I don't want you to miss this opportunity for you to profess your faith in Christ and on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why don't we just all bow down our heads? My friend, if you want to profess your faith on the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ right now, you may do so. You may make this prayer really a prayer of yours and pray this with all of your heart. Lord Jesus, beginning today, I ask You to become the Lord of my life. I believe that You died on the cross to pay for my sins, and I confess that I am a sinner, and I repent of my sins. Thank You for forgiving me and cleansing me from all my unrighteousness. Thank You for the gift of eternal life. Help me, Lord, to live a life which is pleasing in Your sight. In Your name, I pray. Amen. For us who already profess our faith in Christ, remember that when we commit a sin, let's appeal to His character. Look at what the New Testament says about this. In 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, He is, look at the character of God, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. Let's make an appeal to His character. He is faithful. That's His head in Hebrew. He is faithful. He is not only faithful, He is also just to cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. Therefore, come clean before the Lord by appealing to His character. I love how Grace School of Theology always say this. When it comes to the love of Christ, that is the love that we cannot, that cannot be earned and cannot be lost. We cannot earn the love of God because even before we love Him, He already loved us. We love because He first loved us. So appeal to His character, appeal to His loving kindness, appeal to His mercy. Now, the second step in coming clean. First, appealing to God's character. Second, by admitting your own wrongdoing. No pretensions, no justifications, no blaming of others. Come clean before Him by accepting your own wrongdoing. Look at what David said. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know, look at that, for I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against You and You only have I sinned and done what is evil in Your sight, so that You may be justified in Your words and blameless in Your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, You delight in truth in the inward being, and You teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that You have broken rejoice. Hide Your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Look at these words. Wash me, cleanse me, purge me, blot out my iniquities. David had no pretension, no justification, no blaming of others, and even no self-pity, trying to gain sympathies from people. He admitted his own sin. He acknowledged his own sin, my sin. He did not say, because Bathsheba, or di ba, hindi niya naman sinabi, eh, ba't naman kasi doon naligo si Bathsheba, di ba? Wala naman siya sinabi kay Lord. Eh. It's my sin, my own sin. For I know my transgressions. The word transgression there, literally it means crime. It means wrongdoing. The word sin, an offense against a standard. And when we talk about standard, we're not talking about our standard, but that is God's standard. And as David defined sin, he said, I have sinned and done evil in your sight. That is his definition of sin. He has done evil in the sight of the Lord. Therefore, church, sin is doing evil in the sight of the Lord. In my subject, anthropology, that is meaning study of man, we have this definition from Charles Ryrie, a very good definition of what sin is. Sin is missing the mark, badness, rebellion, iniquity, going astray, wickedness, wandering, ungodliness, crime, lawlessness, transgressions, ignorance, and a falling away. Although ignorance is not a sin, but sinning in ignorance is sin. Okay? Now, missing the mark is missing the standard of God. That is not our standard, but the standard of God. Let me give you an example of God's standard so that we can understand this based on the Word of God. Because the Word of God, that is the standard of God. Okay? He said in Ephesians 5:3, but among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality. That is the standard of God. You might say, well, I am not doing the act. But the Bible says there must not even a hint. What about in your thoughts? We do not commit sexual immorality, the act itself, but what about when it comes to our thought? That is the standard of God. When it comes to our speech, the Bible says, let no corrupting talk. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. What if you talk bad things about other people and they are not even there to defend themselves? That is corrupting talk. That is the standard of God. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth. If you are, especially if you are putting the other person in bad light, that is a sin. When we sin, there should be no excuses, my dear brothers and sisters. Sin is sin. No justification, no blaming of others. It's our sin. Let's accept our own wrongdoing. Let's acknowledge before God our own sins. Look at what David said. He said, wash me, cleanse me. Wash me, that's the picture of a laundry. A soiled clothing, when you wash a soiled clothing, it becomes clean. That is the picture in the original language. Cleanse me, in the context of David, that is the picture of ceremonial washing in accordance to the law. Purge me, in the original meaning, it means missing the mark. That is the definition of sin. And he said, hide your face from my sins. Meaning, Lord, don't count my sin against me. That's why he said, blot out all my transgressions. Wipe out, Lord. Would you please wipe out all my sins? This somehow reminds me of what Isaiah, of God through Isaiah said, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. That is, if we repent of our sins, if we ask for forgiveness. So all these words, wash me, cleanse me, purge me, blot out, it is a picture of repentance. It's repentance. We must come clean before the Lord, not only by appealing to his character, but also by accepting our own wrongdoing. No justification, no blaming of others. Let's accept our own sins. We must confess our sins to Him, to God, because only God can forgive us and cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. That is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is only, church, again, let me repeat that. We can only be forgiven in the name of Jesus. Because He Himself said, He said, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. Look at verse 47 of Luke 24. He said, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in His name to all nations beginning from Jerusalem. So friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, let me tell you that there is forgiveness in the name of Jesus. Let us come clean before Him by acknowledging, by accepting our own sins, confessing our sins to Him, admitting before Him that we can do nothing about our own sin. That it's only all through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. My prayer today is that may we truly humble ourselves before the Lord. Let us come clean before Him. No pretensions, no justification or whatsoever when it comes to our sin. No pride, but let us come before the Lord with a broken spirit. Remember, a heart that is broken in pieces before Him so that He can mold our heart. He can create a clean heart in us. Now, I want us to watch a testimony given by Mark Stephen Oblero. He is actually he gave this testimony at CCF, and I want us to see the grace and mercy of God, how he has received forgiveness. Listen to this testimony.
I grew up in a poor and broken family and without my biological father. I live with my mom and two uncles who abused me physically, and one of my uncles abused me sexually at a young age. It was my Christian grandmother who raised me because my mother was not always there to take care of me. I often caught my uncles, stepfather, my mom, and other people in our house watching pornographic materials and taking drugs. But the most difficult struggle I had was about my identity, whether I was a man or a woman. At the age of 7, I began playing with girls' toys and wearing dresses every time I was alone at home. In school, I developed feelings for one of my boy classmates. That was the first time I realized that I was a gay. During college, I became even more open about my sexuality and fully entered the gay community. At 19, I began dressing as a woman and felt that my dream of becoming a woman turned into a reality. To support myself, I work in a club as an entertainer, at the same time, a prostitute. Even going to other countries with transgender women and work as a professional prostitute. I became obsessed with myself and started taking hormones, had surgeries, and went on a strict diet to become more feminine. I started competing in beauty pageants and won one of the biggest trans pageantry competitions on Philippine television as Super Serena Queen of Flowers. It was then that the name Sabel Gonzalez was born and I started becoming very well known in the LGBT community. Despite the success, I still not satisfied. I joined online dating sites for transgenders where I eventually found a man who married me. We moved to the U.S., but divorced after a couple of years. I then moved to Los Angeles, where I became involved in its vibrant transgender community and got further success. Being a transgender model, shooting an ad campaign in Brazil, and even landing a role in a U.S. TV show. But another painful and failed relationship led me to ask God, why is this happening in my life? Why me? I began crying and asking, what is my purpose in this world? Searching endlessly for my identity. Shortly after, I met another guy who invited me to live with him. This time, everything felt perfect. We live in a place surrounded by the wonders of nature and in a peaceful neighborhood. The guy was kind, stable, decent and successful, and I didn't have to worry about my needs. I live in a beautiful house, had an allowance every week, ate delicious food, and it seemed like I was living my dream, but I realized that despite everything I had, something was still missing in my life. One day, I found myself typing preaching on YouTube, and I was led to a CCF YouTube message where the preacher spoke about 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 10, which says, "Don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin, or who worship idols, or commit adultery, or are male prostitutes, or practice homosexuality, or are thieves, or greedy people, or drunkards, or are abusive, or cheat people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God." And that caught my attention. That led me to read my Bible, and while I was reading the Word of God, He convicted my heart and enlightened my mind with the truth, and felt the Holy Spirit is speaking to me. I found myself crying, confessing, and asking for forgiveness from the Lord for all the sins that I have done. I repented my old sinful life and accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Praise God. I soon shared my newfound conviction and faith with the man that I was living with and told him that we needed to stop our sexual relationship because it is immoral and sinful in the eyes of God, and that we can still be friends. By God's grace, he accepted and respected my decision, and now he treats me as his adopted son. I pray to the Lord to give me a church where I can attend, and he led me to CCF LA, where I was welcomed by brothers and sisters in Christ. I also started pursuing intimacy with the Lord by spending more time with him. I used to think that the only cure of homosexuality is to be manly, to have a masculine body, and force myself to be a tough guy. But I was wrong. Holiness through Jesus Christ is the answer. To be a real man is not just to act like a man, but to be a Christ-committed follower. One who lives out and pursues Christ's likeness. With the help of the Lord, I have changed the way I live. I cut my hair and started to wear men's clothes. I am now back here in the Philippines, pursuing reconciliation with my family and serving the Lord. I share the gospel and the word of God to my family, friends, and with the LGBT community. I regularly attend a D group, and recently I started an online D group for the LGBT community. I am also now part of the Healing Grace Ministry, who deals with gender issues. To us, the meaning of LGBT is no longer lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender. God gave us a new meaning, LGBT. Love Jesus, believe, and transform. This is just the beginning of my new life with Jesus. Sabel Gonzalez was just part of my history, but the new Mark Stephen has been born again. I used to search for love and identity in so many places, but my Heavenly Father revealed himself to me and taught me, and I should follow his ways, and reminded me that I am important to him. I am Mark Stephen Oblero. By the grace of the Lord, I have been saved and forgiven. To God be the glory.
So church, let's come clean before the Lord, because there is forgiveness in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. No matter how you see your sin, whether you see it so big that God could no longer forgive you, let me tell you, remember that we cannot earn the love of God because He already loved us. So we cannot earn His love. He already loved us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So let's ask for forgiveness. Remember this. When the Lord Jesus, He stretched out His hand on the cross, that is a picture of how willing He is to embrace you and to love you. Let's come clean before Him. No pretension, no justification, no blaming of others. Let's just admit our sins before Him, and there we will find forgiveness. Because He is loving and He is merciful. We will receive forgiveness. And lastly, let us come clean before God by asking Him to restore us. Look at what David said. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. These verses, this is a picture of restoration. David's just asking God to restore him into a right fellowship with Him. His relationship with Him, he didn't lose his relationship with God. What is lost is his fellowship with Him. Take note, it says, restore unto me the joy of your salvation, of my salvation. It's not restore to me salvation, but the joy of our salvation. What is being lost is our fellowship with the Lord, not our relationship with Him. If you truly profess your faith in Christ, then you have a relationship with Him. But every time that we commit sin, we lost our fellowship with Him, our intimacy with Him. And after we appeal to His character, after we admit our own sin, let us ask Him that He restore us back into this intimacy with Him. Church, and I don't want us to miss this opportunity to come clean before Him, because the Bible says, I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. So in conclusion, church, I want to challenge you right now to come before Him. Right now, not tomorrow, not later. Let us not waste this opportunity that the Lord is giving us to come clean before Him. Right this very moment. I will play a song and you can sing along with this, but I want you to focus on God. I want you to focus on God and on your sin and ask Him to forgive you. Again, no justification. It's your sin. Admit before the Lord and ask for forgiveness. So let us dim the light, please. And I want you, this is just between you and the Lord. Pray to Him. Focus on Him. Focus on His character and ask for forgiveness.
Set apart for you, Lord.
Let us come to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask for your mercy. We admit, Lord, that we have sinned against you. We know, Lord, that we cannot hide from you. We cannot even blame others for our sins. We do not make any excuses right now. Lord, forgive us. We ask, Lord, on the merit of what Christ had done on the cross, we ask for your forgiveness. Forgive us of our wrongdoings. Lord, if we have committed sexual immorality, we ask for your forgiveness. If we have sinned against you because we gossip about other people, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord, because we know that one way or the other, we sin against you through our speech, thoughts, and action. Lord, forgive us. Have mercy on us. Lord, thank you because we know that through your Son, Jesus Christ, there is forgiveness for our sins. Once again, Lord, forgive us. Have mercy on us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let me call on our ushers for our giving. Let us pray for our giving. Once again, Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for your provisions. Thank you, Lord God, as to how you are blessing the works of our hands. Indeed, Lord, may you continue to bless the work of our hands so that, Lord, we can become a blessing to this church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.